Today our lesson is diversity of function in the body. And this is very, very important. Equipping the saints is based upon the idea of preparing each member to do his or her part. That comes from Ephesians 4:11-16, where it talks about all of the different abilities and the different things that God set up for the church so that they could equip the saints. This is the idea then that we've been following, this idea of perfecting the saints or equipping the saints, getting everybody mature and ready to serve. We've got some young men still. We're trying to incorporate them into the worship. And the lady said, well, I don't get to do that in the worship. Well, there are other ways that the ladies can serve the Lord as well. One of the things that we have to realize is worship is not the only thing the church does. Sometimes because that's what people see when they come to visit the worship assembly, they think, well, that's all there is to it. But there are so many other things outside the realm of the worship. And we're going to look next week, we're going to actually pass out, in essence, a little questionnaire. But we're going to give you the different jobs that are available. That's one of them right there, making sure the communion has been prepared. You know, somebody has to do that every week. That's an important part of our worship, isn't it? And if we get to that point of the worship, and we get up here and find out it's not there, it's not ready, well, that's a problem, isn't it? So that's something that you do behind the scenes. You know, somebody do it Saturday night or Sunday morning, come early and do it, and many people do. And that's great. But those kinds of things, all of these different jobs, we're going to have a list on that questionnaire of all of the jobs that I can think of that we have. All of the things that need to be done. And then we'll have a place for you to put your name and to mark on there the things that you would be able to do or the things that you would like to do, even if you don't feel like you're able to yet, so that we can begin to train you in that area so that you can become able. And of course, we'll have some of those separated into jobs for men and some for women, and then some that are for either male or female. So we're going to be looking at that next week, and we're going to think about what kind of thing am I good at? Because sometimes, like I said, we think only about the worship, or we think only about what the preacher does, and we think, well, I can't do what the preacher does. Well, there are a lot of things that have to be done that the preacher can't do. I only have so many hours in every day, just like you do, and there's a limit to how much I can get accomplished each week. And there are a lot of other things that could be done by someone else that would free me up to do something else that I could do that maybe they couldn't. Maybe something that I'm doing that you could do so that I could do something that you couldn't do. And the same thing may be true of many of us. We may say, well, I could do that. And somebody says, well, I could do this. And you go, well, I couldn't do that. That's the way it is. There are some things that we can do and some things we can't do. We talked in our class this morning about the abilities of the mind and some of those things. And we know that different people have different abilities, whether it be the mind or whatever. You know, some people are really good at math. I've seen some people, you could give them a string of numbers 10 digits long, and they could multiply them together and give you the answer faster than a calculator could. I can't do that. Other people are really good at art. They can draw beautiful masterpieces. Even if, you know, and other people may be good at art. They may not be any great artists in the sense of the worldly ways, but they can do artistic things. I sure can. I've said it before, I can't even draw a straight stick figure. That's how bad a drawer I am. But some people are good with those kinds of things. We have bulletin boards that need to be done. There's a lot of things that need to be done that involve artistic ability. Some of the teachers might like to have somebody that had that kind of ability help them decorate their classroom. Get some pictures, you know, draw and color some pictures to put up on the wall or something like that. And those are the kinds of things that we don't even often think about as, well, that's serving God. Well, sure. If it's going to help advance the cause of Christ, if it's going to help someone else to be taught about God, that's the goal. That's the end result that we're looking for. And there are many things that have to go into that. As a preacher and an evangelist, I've struggled with this idea of, you know, I've often, I guess, thought, and I know it was impressed on us in preaching school just how important preaching the gospel is. And we understand it's important. But we kind of, sometimes we kind of get that, well, because I'm doing this, that's more important than any of you. I'm up here and everybody else is down here. That's where the whole idea of the pastor system came into play, or the clergy and the laity, that, you know, I'm up here and you're down here. It's that pride and that arrogance. But as a preacher, as an evangelist and minister, I understand as well that I couldn't do my job if it weren't for people who had the finances to support me to do this job. I'd have to be working full-time at something, and then I wouldn't have the time to devote to this that I do. The same thing with missionaries. We know missionary work is very important, but we can be co-laborers with those missionaries. We've got Brother Enlow is coming next week to give us a report on how things are going in their preaching schools and in their evangelistic efforts worldwide. We are co-laborers in that, even though none of us have ever gone overseas. But because of the financial support that is essential to them being able to accomplish that task, we're working with them. So sometimes we get confused about what's what. And we may think that one thing is more important than something else. We've been trying to illustrate these ideas and to try to get everybody to understand just how important it is for them to find their niche and fill that niche. And we're keeping on that same track, and we're going to move through that today. We talked about the providential necessity. We talked about the practical necessity. We talked about looking forward and seeing our future in the church. Where are we headed? What do we see in 5, 10, 50, 100 years from here for this congregation? What do we want to have happen? We've talked about all of those things. But let's consider today that the body of Christ has many members. We can look around and see the many members. And you know what? None of us are just like another. I feel safe saying that even if there are some twins sitting out there, none of us is just like another. We're different. And it's important for us to understand that. The body of Christ has many members. To the church at Corinth, Paul stressed this point, 1 Corinthians 12 and verses 12 through 14. He says, "For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." He told the brethren at Rome the same thing. Romans chapter 12 and verses 4 and 5 that was read to us. "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office." In other words, not all our body parts do the same thing, do they? The hand doesn't do the same thing the stomach does. The heart doesn't do the same thing the brain does. The lungs don't do the same thing the feet do. There are no two parts of the body that do the same thing. Each one of them serves its function. We can look at our hands, we say, well, those two fingers are the same. But I guarantee you, when I'm trying to do something, this finger is a lot more helpful to me in certain things than this one is. We talk about being right-handed or left-handed, and that makes a difference in those things. But that doesn't mean that this hand's not important. Sometimes I need both these fingers. And what I'd have a hard time if I only had one of them. Now I could still live with only one of them. In fact, you know, some people live without anything. That's tough. But they can live. But at the same time, we see how helpful those things are and how useful they are to the body. And we want you to understand this. We need you. And we want you as a part of the body here. But at the same time, the body of Christ can survive without you. The difference is, if I chop that finger off, I can still live. The rest of my body is fine, but what's going to happen to that finger? That finger's going to die. And it'll die real quick. If they don't get right to it and get it sewed back on there, which is something they couldn't even have done several years back, but they've just recently been able to do that kind of thing. It's going to die. So we've got to understand, as much as the church needs us, and it does, the church needs every one of us, and we don't want to belittle that, but we've got to understand that as much as the church needs us, we need the church that much more. We need the church more than it needs us. Now, we need everybody. We need more than we've got. We need everybody in town. We need everybody in the county. We need everybody in the world. But we're not going to get them all. But we're going to work and try to get as many as we can. And that's why we need you. Because we need you to help in getting others. And those others to help in getting others. And it's a cumulative effect. It grows and it grows. But we see this. He compares it to the body. Just like the body, the parts don't all do the same thing. He says, so we being many are one body in Christ. And this is the, notice the last phrase here. And every one members one of another. Do we feel that close to each other? Do I hurt when you're hurting? Do you hurt when your sister's hurting? Do you hurt when your brother's hurting? Does your brother hurt when you're hurting? We're members one of another. We are all part of the same body. Let me tell you something. If I hit my thumb with a hammer, the rest of my body's not going to say, yeah, it was just that thumb, I don't care. The rest of my body is going to hurt with it. And we've got to be sure we have that same kind of attitude in the body of Christ. We are connected together, and when one part of the body hurts, when one part of the body is separated off from the rest, when one part of the body is dying, the rest of the body suffers. We've got to suffer. We've got to gain that kind of a closeness. I mean, you can't get any closer than being part of the same body. My wife and I are pretty close. You know, the Bible talks about the two becoming one flesh. But as much as that, you know what? When I'm sick, it doesn't make her sick. Now, she might feel for me, but it doesn't, and she might get sick as a result of being around me, but just because I'm sick, it doesn't make her sick. But when one part of my body's sick, the whole body's sick. I'm sick all over. Aches and pains and fevers. You know, you don't just go, well, you know, I've got a little fever in my finger, but it doesn't stop bothering the rest of my body. When you get a fever all over, don't you? When you get the flu, you just go, well, you know, it's just this one toe that aches. Now, when you get the flu, you ache from head to toe. You ache in places you didn't know you had. We are one body. And we have got to understand how close we really are. What affects one part affects us all. We've got to be supportive of one another. Talked about hitting the thumb with the hammer. When that happens, I don't know, maybe you've never done that. If not, you're fortunate. It hurts real bad. And that pain starts at that thumb, and somehow it'll go clear up the arm. And the first thing that has that other hand, you know, whichever one it was, that other hand grabs on it. Oh. Well, what are those other parts of the body doing? Now, can they really make the pain go away like that? No. but they're showing their support. They're showing that we're part of the same body, and when you're hurting, I'm hurting. We've got to get that same kind of reaction. We shouldn't have to be told. When somebody loses a loved one, when somebody's sick, we shouldn't have to be told. Well, I mean, we have to be told that this occurred, but once we find out, we shouldn't have to be told, okay, now, you do this or that or the other thing. It should just be an automatic reaction. We go to that person to help. And I'll confess, we don't always do as well with that as we should. I know I don't. I don't always get right to somebody as soon as I should in situations like that. But we've got to work on that. That's one of those areas of growth that we've got to develop where we're close enough that we care. And when somebody's hurting, we're hurting with them. And then we also see that not all members have the same function. We see the many different parts, and they support each other, and they're all part of the same body, but they don't have the same function. And we've talked about that a little bit already. But how important is that? To understand that we can't all do the same thing. What if all the men that are here today, what if all of them decided they were going to lead the opening prayer this morning? Well, then who's going to serve the Lord's Supper? Who's going to lead the singing? Who's going to read the scripture reading? Who's going to preach? Who's going to do all the other things that need to be done if everybody wants the same job? Well, of course, we rotate it around and give different people opportunities to do all of those different jobs as much as possible. And we'll certainly work to do that as well. But, hey, you know, I'm glad that other than on the singing night when I have a chance to lead a song or two, I'm glad that I'm not called on to lead singing for Sunday morning service. I'm not very good at that. I mean, I'd do it if there was nobody else, but I'm glad there are other men that are good at that. I'm not. I can barely carry a tune in a bucket. It seems like the bucket was holes in it, and the tune leaks out every time. And I'm not good at that. I've never been good at that. I had voice lessons for 3 years, and I don't think they helped at all. I was in chorus in junior high school, and I don't think that helped either. I don't know if I'm tone deaf or what, but I can just only do as good as I can do. Now, that's okay. God didn't say we had to sing perfect. But we want the person that's doing the song leading to do a good job, don't we? So we can all follow along and sing praises to God. But I'm glad that's not my job. Others, though, said, well, I sure wouldn't want to get up there and preach like you do, but to me, this is the thing to do. You see, we have different desires, different abilities, different strengths and weaknesses. And that's one of the goals of this, as we're looking at equipping the saints and looking at this diversity of function in the body, is to see what your strengths are and build on those strengths. See what your weaknesses are and see if maybe we can improve some of those weaknesses to make them strengths. Sometimes we may just be weak at something because we haven't done it. You know, the first time you go and try to work out, your muscles are weak because they haven't done that before, but you do that a few times, they start to get stronger and you can do it. So maybe you just haven't done it before. But whatever the case may be, we know that there are different functions and different people have different skills. This is made most clear to those at Rome. He just flat out says it, that not all members have the same office. They just don't. And we've got to understand that. And we have different gifts according to the grace given us. Romans 12, 6 through 8 tells us that. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us. In other words, just like the talents, where different ones had different talents. Now that was he was talking about money there, but the same thing is true of gifts of physical talents and spiritual talents, emotional talents, all those kinds of things. It's always the case that we have different talents, different gifts. It's also implied in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 28 through 30, where Paul lists several different things. And then he asks, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all workers of miracles? Now he's talking about the miraculous gifts there. But we know the same thing to be true with our abilities. not all had those same abilities. Right? If they did, we all us men would have been football players and made millions of dollars or something. You know, if, and all of the ladies would have been, I don't know what desire they might have had. You know, maybe they'd have been actresses or models or who knows what and made millions of dollars. But we don't all have those gifts and those abilities to do those things. But some do. But see, these questions, when he says, do all have this, do all do that, that implies that not everybody does do all of those things. And the answer to all those is no, not everybody was an apostle. There was only room for a few of those apostles in the whole church. Certainly not everyone could be the preacher. Not everyone can be a teacher. You know, if everyone was a teacher, where would the class be? I'm going to teach my class over here. I'll teach my class over here, and I'll teach my class over here. And everybody goes to a separate room and teaches nobody. Because everybody wants to be a teacher. That wouldn't work too well. On the other hand, we need some to be teachers. And in the book of Hebrews, he said, when for the time you ought to have been teachers, you have need to be taught again in Hebrews 5. That's a sad thing. You need to grow to that. But at the same time, James warns about becoming masters or teachers and the responsibility. He says, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. And the word masters there refers to a master teacher. He said, be careful. Because it's a great responsibility, and those who have that responsibility are going to receive a greater condemnation if they fail than others. Peter also in 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11 talks about the manifold grace of God. And he talks then about if any man speak, if any man minister, if any man do this or that. He talks about the different things that they can do. This is a many-fold. In other words, multiple ways, many-fold grace of God. A failure to appreciate this point can be detrimental. It's detrimental to individual members. It's detrimental to the church. It's always detrimental when we don't understand how important this diversity is. It's important for us to be different. Every function is crucial to the operation of the body. No one can say that they or their roles are not important. 1 Corinthians 15 through 20, Paul illustrates this. And then, on the other hand, no one can say that what others do is not important. Paul illustrates this in verses 21 through 22, and even a little further on. See, there's no place for a low self-esteem of, oh, I'm just not worthy of being a part of the body, I just can't do anything. And on the other hand, there's no place for arrogance to say, I can do it all myself. There's no room for either of those attitudes. That puts several challenges before us, and we're going to look at some of those challenges in the future. But let's examine what they are. First, to be aware of the different ways that members can serve. That's a challenge. We need to know the different ways that people can serve. Second, to encourage members to develop the functions that best suit their abilities and opportunities to serve. So look for the one that fits you best, that you can do the best. And then, of course, understanding the need to provide direction and opportunity for those willing to prepare them to serve in these different functions. You know, sometimes somebody just has to be told, look, that's not your strength. That's kind of a hard thing sometimes, especially when somebody wants to do it. But I know there were some going through preaching school with me that they had the desire, and they could make a good sermon, but they couldn't deliver it. They just couldn't get up there in front of the class even and present the message. It looked good on paper, but they just couldn't. And I know a couple of those guys, they're not preaching now. One of them works in a funeral home and you know, different things. They wanted to do it, but they didn't have the ability to do it. Sometimes we have a desire, but not an ability. Sometimes we have an ability, but not a desire. we need to combine the ability with the desire. We put that together, that's when we're going to be the most successful, when we have the ability and the desire together. And then we can accomplish great things. We're going to offer some suggestions on how to meet these challenges in future lessons. But for now, I hope that we appreciate these points, that the body of Christ has many members, that not all members have the same function, and that every function is crucial to the operation of the body as a whole. You've got to understand those three things. To close, here's a quote from Frable Yaquis, Why Churches Grow. We've mentioned him before. He's one of the foremost studiers of this in our brotherhood. Some congregations have been built around one particular kind of ministry or program. In those congregations, the only members who are really involved are those taking part in that one special program. But the church is a body. A body must have diversity if it is to survive. Evangelism, edification, benevolence, and worship are functions required of every local congregation. Successful congregational development requires a balanced program involving many areas of activity. Again, you know, we've talked about our focus is going to be evangelism. But even though our focus is evangelism, benevolence and edification and worship are essential parts of that. They're all, you know, if we don't edify one another, there won't be anybody that's going to go out and evangelize. If we don't come together to worship, well, then we're not going to be spurred on to want to evangelize. If we don't do actions of benevolence, then people are going to say, as they often do, I don't care how much you know until I know how much you care. If we don't reach out to people in need, they're going to see us as a cold, unloving congregation that they don't want to be a part of. So all of these things are essential to that goal of spreading the gospel. But we've got to work on all of those things. I hope that you'll be sure to be back next week and then on the 19th as well. We're going to conclude this with these two lessons and look for ways that you can serve. Now, some jobs are every week kind of jobs. Some jobs are everyday kind of jobs. Some jobs are just every once in a while kind of jobs. And some who might not be able to, well, I can't do an everyday kind of job. But they might be able to do a once a month kind of job. And others might be able to do a once a week kind of job. And we need to find places where we can fit in and do our work and do our part. And we need to also understand that it's important that we don't try to force somebody into a certain job and think, well, everybody's got to do this job, or you've got to do this job that I want you to do. They may not be able to do that job. They may not have the ability to do that job. And if we force them to try to do that job that they're unable to do, we're going to discourage them and tear them down instead of encouraging them and building them up. You see, success encourages people. Failure depresses people. And so we need to help everybody find what they can do. And I am sure that we can find something for everyone to get involved in the work of the church. I know we can. The desire on your part is important. You've got to want to get involved. And once that's the case, we'll find jobs that are suitable to your strengths and your abilities. We'll look at that next week. If you're here today and you have a need to respond to the invitation, perhaps you haven't been serving a function in the church. Maybe you're just kind of like an extra body part that's not used. They call those vestigial organs. Now, in our human bodies, we really don't have any of those. I know they talk about the appendix, and we can live without it and all that. That doesn't mean it doesn't serve a function. It's there for a reason. God didn't put it there just for decoration. It serves a function. But some of us, maybe in the body of Christ, just taking up space, Or worse, we may be like a cancer in the body of Christ. If you've been any of those things, you need to repent of that. You need to get involved in serving the Lord in a good way, in a profitable way, and in accomplishing a good work. If you're here and you haven't each responded, we ask that you do so as we stand today.